This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Sports Media Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Deitch. My producer is Patrick Antonetti. Two guests in this episode, but this is going to be a fun show, especially for those of you who are so into the NFL draft, and that probably is most of you listening. Charlie Uke is an NFL Network executive producer. He is the longtime point person for the network's NFL draft coverage. He is one of the guests, and he is joined by his counterpart at ESPN. These two are our buddies, Seth Markman, Vice President, Executive Production for ESPN. He oversees all of their college football and NFL studio shows, and he's been ESPN's point person for their coverage of the NFL draft for many years. And we have a great discussion on just how to put the NFL draft on, what these guys think of this year's particular NFL draft, anything that you can think of. In terms of some behind-the-scenes stuff on how the NFL draft happens, that's what this conversation is about. So if you're an NFL draft nerd, I think you're going to totally dig it. It's Charlie Uke and Seth Markman coming up on the Sports Media Podcast. All right, as I said at the top, this one I'm excited about because I've talked to both of these guys many, many times before NFL drafts and after NFL drafts. And it's kind of always a running joke that I don't talk to them together. I talk to them separately. So this is a historic meeting. I mean, imagine if, you know, FDR and Churchill were on a boat somewhere talking about the NFL draft. This would be essentially the equivalent of this. Charlie Uke is the NFL Network's executive producer. In layperson terms, that means he's the top content person there. He is the longtime point person for that network's NFL draft coverage. He joined NFL Network in 2006. Seth Markman is a vice president executive producer for ESPN. Once again, that place, just the titles at that place are just annoying as hell. He oversees all college football and all NFL studios shows. So under him, College Game Day, College Football Live, Sunday NFL Countdown, Monday NFL Countdown, et cetera, NFL Live, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Again, like Charlie, he's been the point person for ESPN's coverage of the NFL draft for many years. These two know each other for a long time. We'll get all this out of the way. Live coverage of the 2024 NFL draft in Detroit, first round Thursday, April 25th, 8 p.m., rounds 2 and 3, Friday, April 26th, 7 p.m. Rounds 4 and 7, Saturday, April 27th, noon. Well, where can you find it? NFL Network, NFL Plus, ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN Deportes. And with that, my God, what a long intro. With that, I welcome Charlie Uke, Seth Markman. Welcome to the Sports Media Podcast.
Thanks, Richard. Good to be here.
Thank you.
All right. I love the fact that I have two producers here who do not like to give up control on anything, and I control it all. It's fucking great. Oh, fantastic. All right. Here we go. Charlie, I'm going to start with you, mostly just to annoy ESPN's PR people because they would want me to start with Seth. The 2024 NFL draft is ESPN's 45th year broadcasting the event. It's the NFL Network's 18th year broadcasting the event. The thing, we've talked about this many times, the thing that is amazing to me is this is a property whose growth only has gone one way. Like, yeah, viewership sometimes ebbs and flows, but generally speaking, it gets bigger. The ideas get bigger. The interest in it gets bigger. And that is the same for 2024. Why do you think that is? Why is this a property that, generally speaking, has only gone, the arrow only up on this?
Yeah, I can speak from it from a content perspective and from a league perspective. Once we pulled the draft out of Radio City and made it like a traveling road show to Super Bowl type levels, you know, it started in Chicago in 2015 and 16, Philadelphia in 17, Dallas in 18, Nashville, which everyone remembers, in 19, COVID year in 20, which we'll probably touch upon here, you know, Cleveland 21, Vegas 22, Kansas City 23, and now as we, you know, descend upon Detroit, it is the offseason, the largest offseason event for the league. It is the crown jewel event for the league. It is reaching Super Bowl proportions. So the fervor, the passion, the hope for all these 32 fan bases, for the ESPN viewers, ABC viewers, and the NFL viewers, it makes total sense to do what we're doing right now with you, which is, you know, unify, get the message out there what the draft is, because, I mean, Seth and I are in agreement here. The more eyeballs, the better here. And we've worked in partnership, like you said, for a very long time with the common goal. And that's success in a nutshell, right, guys? If we all have a common vision and a common goal, we can all get there. And for us, it's to reach the maximum amount of eyeballs for this event, which we're doing every year.
Seth, one of the reasons why I've always thought that this is a unique event is because, and I see this in my own workspace, whether it's The Athletic or Sports Illustrated, whenever those entities do something like power rankings, the metrics of those things are massive because every team's involved, which means every fan base has an interest in that content. And my thought with the NFL draft is always the same thing, right? It's not, you're not doing Cowboys Eagles, you're doing 30 teams. And so that's always been my thought as to why this thing keeps growing. But I am curious to ask you the same question I asked Charlie.
Yeah, no, I've always thought the same thing, and that's where I was going to go as well. Is you know, it's funny. I always think about, you know, our Super Bowl coverage, for instance, and, you know, something that a lot of people don't know probably is like our Super Bowl week is not one of our highest rated weeks by far on our shows. Like, even though we're on site and it's the, you know, the climax of the season, but I always say there's really only two fan bases at that point that are super interested in the Super Bowl. And then everybody's going to watch the game. That's different. But I mean, the surround programming, you know, if you're a fan of one of the other 30 teams, like, you may not be glued to your TV all week. The draft is the complete opposite. And, you know, there are years that are special. Like, I think this year is special where, you know, most teams have a first round pick. And the quarterbacks, you know, I know we'll get into that, but, you know, the sexiness of the draft is always going to depend on the quarterbacks. And we got that this year, you know, and we have big teams at the top. And like, so to me, it's, you know, I know I'm going away from your original question a little bit, but like, this is what, you know, people care about more, I think, more so than playoff football or Super Bowl, because there's so many fan bases that are excited, right?
So I want to ask you a question about, you have done a lot of, you produced a lot of studio shows and you produced a lot of sort of remote programming. The specifics of the NFL draft, like how challenging is it to produce, and when do you got to start thinking about just plans for, you know, for the Super Bowls, you talked to all these networks, they're planning a year in advance. So what is it like for the NFL draft? Like, when you start thinking about Detroit, what you got to do?
Charlie and I worked together for a long time, you know, on these kind of things, along with the NFL, some of the folks there that have been together with us for a long time. And, you know, we work on the site, we work on, you know, the locations, but, you know, you can also over-prepare. And I think sometimes, unfortunately, we all over-prepare because, you know, once we get into the content of the draft, the thing moves so fast from a TV standpoint. It's, I don't know how Charlie feels, but for me, it's definitely the most challenging event that I'm involved in from a production standpoint, just because, you know, you can spend hours, and we do, meeting and talking about what the, you know, Washington Commanders should do at number two. Let's get everybody's opinions. And then, hey, when they're on the clock, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about the quarterback. We're going to talk about the new coach. We're going to spend all this time. And then inevitably, they get on the clock and the pick is in. And we haven't even, we're still wrapping up, you know, the number one pick. So it's like all that kind of went out the window, and then trades happen, and, you know, sort of inside baseball, if you will, but we have to get these commercials in, you know, and I know it can be frustrating, but, you know, we know those pay the bills and allow us to put on these events. And, you know, the interesting thing is, like, Charlie and I, we're in sync. Our teams will sync up on all the commercial breaks. That's something we only did a couple of years ago. which really has helped the flow of the draft. But still, the clock doesn't stop. Like when a team's on the clock, and you know, we may be in commercial when the pick has come in and the commissioner's waiting to make the announcement, the next clock's going. So it's there's a lot of yelling. This is a you know, for those of you who've been in a television production truck, this is not one of the calm ones by any means. This is a this is hectic. This is hectic, and you know, we like it that way. I think they're more, these days are more fun, but it's definitely our production team. They're seasoned, but this is a challenge.
Charlie, when we've talked, you've been very consistent on this, and I think this has actually been proven when it comes to viewership. You've always said that when it comes to getting sort of viewership numbers here or viewership records, one, you need star quarterbacks or star skilled position players. Two, some chaos. You need somebody dropping, a trade that happens. In this draft, you have an abundance of the first part. You have a ton of at least named quarterbacks, and maybe the greatest at least potential collection of wide receivers we've ever seen in the first round. So I would think if you have any kind of trades or any kind of chaos, like this thing to me sets up for a big viewership number. Do you agree with my thesis here?
Yes. And we've had talks, as Seth mentioned, with NFL broadcasting, ABC, ESPN, and NFL. We have concerns on when we're actually taking the first commercial break because of the chaos. There is a chance quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. There's, you know, I think New England just said this week, we're open for business. What we don't know what Washington's going to do at 2. So yeah, chaos is going to drive eyeballs, and any sort of movement where teams move up or down, and it doesn't matter if it's the Giants or Minnesota, whoever it is, that's good for business. Seth mentioned it. These quarterbacks, it's back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners. You've got Drake May. You've got J.J. McCarthy, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. The interest is already there. And then once these chess pieces on the board move to teams deciding whether they want to move up or down, yeah, we're kind of screwed on the commercials, but we know that's a better product. So that's a good thing. We'll figure it out. We'll get them all in just in case anyone's worried, but we'll get them all in.
I'm going to stick with you, Charlie, and then Seth, if you can follow Charlie and respond, it'd be good. One of the critics, I will get into talent, how you determine the talent that you choose. And you guys actually, interestingly enough, have developed into very different philosophies. Charlie has, in some ways, gone from a much bigger group of on-air people to a smaller condensed, where Seth, you now have ABC. So you've actually increased the amount of faces that we see if I'm a viewer who flips between your two different coverages. So it's kind of interesting. But Charlie, one of the things that I see some criticism from diehard draft fans, and I don't know if there's a solution to this, is there's a lot of like here's why this pick is great. This pick fits great. This player is great. There's not a lot of criticism of a potential pick. Now, here's my one caveat on this, okay? And I think this is fair to defend the, as painful as it is for me, I will defend the TV networks here. It's also like a draft. It's also the celebration of, for all of these guys, and they make it. So you don't kind of want to like use that time, very brief amount of time, to shit on the pick as well, right? I mean, this is a celebratory thing. So I do think it's a very fine line to hit between maybe they could have done better here and overt celebration. But I did want to ask you both this, because I think both of you guys have always been very transparent with me whenever I've asked you stuff. And I do think like this does, you know, it is hard sometimes maybe to avoid 32 great picks in the first round. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Listen, we have our announcer meetings where we say this is a celebratory night. Let's understand what this night is. But, and I don't want to speak for Seth, but I'm pretty sure, you know, we don't go in saying don't pick out the flaws. If a guy has stiff hips and there's some concerns as a tackle, our announcers know they should be able to say that, and they will say that. But you know, to your main point here, Richard, like this is a night that's based on hope. We tend to focus on the positives more. I think that's fair for what we do on our broadcast, but we're not afraid to. I don't want to call it criticisms. I think it's the tape. The eye in the sky never lies. And if there's something that concerns people on a football level, we'll bring it up. The, you know, the off the field stuff, if there are any concerns, I think there's one or two prospects they may have, it is also fair to bring up. But as far as the criticisms, you know, anything we do from a football level, we are it's fair game. We don't shy away from it. I mean, I'll let Seth answer, but that's the kind of way we approach it.
And Seth, you've had to, it's interesting because you have had to sort of navigate sometimes if there's off the field stuff, and more than Charlie's network, this is where ESPN just is always in the center of the storm. You guys have been hit by, like, you were too hard on this. You focused too much on this off the field story. But then if you go the other way, it's like, oh, you know, John Gruden loves Johnny Manziel more than he loves his kids kind of thing. So, like, in some ways, I acknowledge it's sort of tough to find the line.
It's tough. I think I agree with Charlie in the sense of, you know, you sit in the, you know, for me, like in the production truck with Charlie, right? And, you know, you're seeing these kids crying and their families celebrating and their lives changing, you know, so many of them for generations, right? Like their whole families will change and the emotions of it. And, you know, I think it's human nature that, you know, it's the announcers are seeing the same thing. And like, even if they potentially don't like the pick, don't think the kid was picked too high, like it is tricky to like start, you know, as you said, dumping on the kid, right? Like he's having that moment, you know, like I think years ago, you know, Mel, you know, probably had a sharper tongue, if you will, I think when he was younger and like sort of people loved it, people hated it, but you know, he went after teams a lot. He went after players a lot. You know, I think the draft was, it wasn't the industry it is now those days. So when players got picked, sometimes it was like, you know, we had guys that were picked in the early days where they weren't even projected to be in the top two or three rounds and they're picked in the first. That rarely happens now. I feel like the coverage is become so much that, I mean, I can remember one time in the last 3 or 4 years, I think it was a Patriots pick that we were like generally surprised, like, oh, wow, we didn't have him, you know, as a day one or two grade kind of thing. You know, but I think it is a celebration. You know, I'll say this, the ABC show, you know, we've tried to separate the two shows, and that's clearly something that we've looked at on the ABC show as a celebration of the journey and storytelling of you know, the kids. And we don't go too deep into like where they're going to fit on the roster or did the team make a mistake. Maybe ESPN, you know, with Mel and Lewis has been known to be critical at times. You know, I think you'll see a little more of that. But yeah, I see the criticism at times too. I've read it. Every pick is going to be great. Like, I'll accept some of that criticism for a night where like these kids' lives are changing to such a degree that I think the human element takes over at times.
Seth, let me stick with you here. And Charlie, you're welcome to follow. I think there was a time when you guys really, not necessarily Seth and Charlie, but ESPN and the NFL Network really saw themselves as competitors here. Each network absolutely wanted to win the next day reviews in terms of who had a better production. You absolutely wanted more eyeballs on one versus the other. Again, I am sure that like you each still want the fan to watch your network, but I have found, at least in talking to both of you, and certainly now with this cross promotion on both networks, it does feel different. Like it's, you're not, there's not really competitiveness, it seems like to me, and like however it ends up as a viewership will end up as a viewership. So Seth, when did that change, or maybe why did that change? Because I you know, having covered this a long time, there were, if I had talked to your equivalents, you know, whatever, 13 years ago, 15, maybe it was you two guys anyway, I just think you would have, your attitude would have been much different than it is now. Listen, respectful.
There's no question about it. You're right. When NFL Network first came into the broadcasting of the draft, you know, we had done it for forever, right? Like there's never been an ESPN without an NFL draft. So, you know, we felt like this was our thing. It was in our DNA. You know, we didn't love the idea of another network coming in, even if it was the NFL Network. Like, why do we need another network broadcasting this? And then, you know, and I'll be as honest as possible. I thought at the time that there were things that the NFL Network was doing specifically, not to try to hurt our rating, but like to help their own rating, and didn't care as much about what we were doing. Like the commercial thing, again, this is minutia, but like, you know, we sync our commercial breaks now. In the early days of this, I remember distinctly the NFL Network saying, we'll never be in break when ESPN's in break, because we don't want, you know, we want, hopefully when they go to break, some audience goes to us, and vice versa. We right. wanted to do the same thing, you know? So there was more competition. And then I think over the last 5 or 6 years, I think smartly, we've all sort of realized like we can both be successful here. Like it doesn't have to be at the, you know, at one has to be, you know, doing great ratings wise. That means that's at the expense of the other. Like, you know, we do report one number, as you know, mostly like, here's what the NFL yeah. draft, you know, rated. So I want the NFL Network to have a good rating too, because I want that overall number to be what everybody's talking about Friday morning next week, you know? So, and then I'd say the last thing is, you know, I do think the relationship between Charlie and myself is really important, you know? And I think that we've known each other for many, many years. We kind of came up, you know, through the chain together at separate networks, but have like worked together for years on the draft and the Hall of Fame and Super Bowls and things like that. And we developed a friendship first before we got these jobs. So it was just natural for us to want to work together. And, you know, we both genuinely like each other, respect each other, and feel like we can all be successful here.
How do you see it, Charlie?
Yeah, I point to, and I give credit to Seth and his team, to the 2019 draft in Nashville, where we've really first started the kumbaya crossover, whatever moment, when Rich Eisen joined, you know, Reese and Trey on set for an interview. And that kind of was like the moment for me, which is like, we can all do this together. In Nashville, if you guys recall that scene on Broadway, it was just an insane draft. That was the Kyler Murray draft, I think. It was just insane. And it's like the year afterwards, no one predicted the pandemic that happened. And we worked even more closely together. And as Seth recalls, that was truly a cross-talent, cross-produced, cross-org, cross-everything production. We were all on the same Unity system as our PLs. We all had the same talent meetings, the logistics meetings. That just solidified everything we did in 19. And then when we came back to Cleveland in 21 and now moving forward, it just made sense. It just makes sense to do this together as a partnership. Seth's right. Being friends with someone definitely helps than being enemies with someone in this. And also, we all know each other. Like I love Adam Schefter. I love all these people on ESPN as much as I know Seth knows and loves a lot of people on the NFL side. You know, him and Rich have a great relationship. So it just makes it easier when everyone knows each other. Is there friendly competition? Seth and I have said this. Yes, of course there is. But as far as the eyeballs go, look, the eyeballs are always going to go to ESPN and ABC. But to hear him say it and to know it too, because I know it, I don't have to hear him say it. You know, if the NFL does great here, the draft numbers are great, we all win. That's the most important thing. We all win. Like at this table, Richard, everyone eats. And that's the most important thing.
Charlie, I want to ask you about the prospect. By the way, this is no one's reporting this. I'm just asking you like sort of in theoretical. It would be very easy for the draft to become 4 days. You could have a first round, one day Thursday. You have second round on Friday. That's still pretty sexy round. Then do whatever you want on the Saturday. You go 3-5, whatever, and then Sunday 5-7. The NFL is always sort of looking for new ways to increase their content. I mean, they added obviously an extra game. You're going to see the NFL playing abroad. They're probably going to have, a TV package on those kind of games played abroad. So it makes sense if they're looking to like maybe increase another 10-pole event to add an extra day of the draft. As the person who would be responsible for this, as a television person, just give me your sort of top line thoughts. I want yours too, Seth. Like, what do you think of that prospect? And do you think it could happen in the course of you two running this stuff?
Could it happen? Yes. I'll speak for a person of one here. I like the current format. Thursday is a showcase, first round primetime. Friday, two rounds at 7 o'clock. Saturday is very long, still about 7 hours from noon to 7 Eastern with, you know, rounds 4 through 7. I don't know how much you're going to get if you extend it a day because you're looking at, what were you saying, round 7 or round 6? I just don't know how much. You'd have to be really passionate to get to a fourth day with just the 7th or the 6th round. I think the current format works. But, you know, I'll put my league hat on as well as my network hat on. We're always looking to, like you said, figuring out what's the best way to maximize eyeballs and everything else over a longer stretch. Could I see it happening? Maybe. But I think the way it stands right now, this is probably the way we're going to be for a little bit.
Seth, you agree with Charlie or you see it differently?
I actually had an idea a while back, which ran by a couple people that would probably infuriate viewers. But I actually thought we could break up the first round into two nights. Like, that's where I think they would be.
Cliffhanger. I kind of like that. That's kind of interesting.
Like, I thought, because it's so long, it is long. Like, Thursday night's going to be
competitive advantage, though, right? For the teams that haven't picked, maybe?
I think, or is that the issue? Might be, you know, I don't know that the football side would like it, but just from a TV producer standpoint and a fan standpoint, like, what if we did 1 through 16 on Thursday and 17 to 32 on Friday? Like, I mean, you know, and it's in a 2-hour window both nights. And, like, you know, from a rating standpoint, an interest standpoint, like, could be phenomenal. Again, I don't think that's probably realistic, but I'm not going to lie to you and say that I hadn't had that thought. And, well, like, that's how I would stretch it out instead of the kind of the, what you had brought up. Like,
what do you think of that, Charlie? You don't want that, Charlie. I feel like.
No, I mean, like, look, that'd be awesome. But there is, I mean, Seth brings up the best point. That's a football club decision more than it would be a broadcast decision. Like, that, there would be teams to be like, that's a competitive advantage for the back half, but that'd be pretty interesting.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, couple more here. Charlie, I always ask you this because I'm just fascinated by this. You both of you, both companies have so many behind the scenes people who no one would ever obviously recognize on the street, who are the ones who track down all the film from all the different colleges. They put together these packages on all the potential prospects. And, you know, the NFL Network in particular always sort of like loves to sort of, you know, strut out.
We brag about volume.
Yeah, it's good in a volume way. Like, hey, we got highlight packages of like 500 players or whatever. So what is
we use about 100 tapes. Right. But yeah, we brag.
So
about
what's
volume.
The number for you this year? Where are you looking around?
I think I was ready for this. I think the number we've reduced it a little bit. We the number of prospects I think is around 500, and the number of tapes is I think it's just about 1,500, 1,600. But like that's every tape. Seth knows it's a lot of tape, but you know, you run your tech tapes, you run your certain other ones, and your bumps. It's you'll never hit that number, but we're right around there. 500 individual players on about 1,500, 1,600 tapes.
How many people at ESPN work on this? Like what's how big a staff is it? Because obviously, just for what Charlie's talking about there, you need however many production assistants to track all that stuff down. That's one little facet.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're hundreds when you consider like the whole operations team and, you know, everybody that's on the ground in Detroit next week, and the fact that we have two networks going. And you know, I'll also mention, you know, new for this year for us, which we're excited about, is Pat McAfee's show. So that's really a third, you know, and that's YouTube and ESPN Plus. And, you know, so like we have a ton of people that are working on all this stuff. But yeah, we're similar in the, you know, I think we're at like 470 highlights. So we might be closing in on 500. Maybe we can get 30 done in the next week or so. But, you know, and I know Charlie has the same, but I just, you know, shout out to the highlight teams that put this stuff together. Like, and Richard, you've always been really good about highlighting those people. And it's, you know, I couldn't even tell you all the names of the people that that do that for, but I think for all three networks, those folks deserve like so much credit for what they do. And this is, you know, from the day, for us, it's from the day college football ended, basically. It begins, and it's a labor of love. But like what I would say about us is, it's not necessarily the volume of the highlights, but for us, I focus on like that they're not just a bunch of plays strung together. You know, like anybody can do that, right? But like it's what they pick for those plays, and the time they spend with our analysts to go over those, and how many times they have to go back and cut another version of the highlight and another version of the highlight, and it's not until it's good enough. So just shout out to the entire team, and I'll speak for Charlie on this, all three networks that give up so much of their lives to make this event special.
Seth, you mentioned McAfee. He announced that Bill Belichick's going to be part of his draft coverage. Does ESPN/ABC proper, like, can they use Bill at all, or is this a totally separate thing?
No, Bill's going to be on Pat's show the whole time. He will not come over to ESPN or ABC. Like, he's committed to work on this. And again, this just goes to kind of our whole philosophy as a network too, is like, you know, we're trying to find new avenues, right, for our content. And we're trying to say that, like, yes, linear is super important, ESPN and ABC, but like, if we can catch some new viewers that want to watch Bill and Pat, and they're watching on ESPN Plus or YouTube, like, that's fine too. Like, you know, like, that's good. Like, we certainly want to have those people watch wherever they are comfortable watching. And it's just from a logistics standpoint, I think it would be too tricky too, to like, I wouldn't want to try to take Bill away from that broadcast and say, all right, come over and be on ESPN for an hour here or whatever it is. So I'm hoping people, you know, we got sophisticated audiences that can watch on multiple screens, and hopefully they dip in and see Bill. And, you know, we're excited about Nick Saban. I wanted to at least mention that, you know, his debut for us is a big deal for ABC. And I know how hard he's been working at this, and I think it's going to be really cool to see, you know, we got arguably the greatest college coach of all time and arguably the greatest NFL coach of all time covering this draft on different platforms. So pretty cool.
Saban is, remind me again, is Saban one night or two nights?
He'll be two nights on ABC.
Okay. Two nights on ABC.
Yep.
And we'll basically, do we think of him in sort of whatever role you would think of as a coach on set, basically, whether it's his players or players he's played against, right?
Yeah. That's what I think is kind of cool and unique is, and I know Charlie's done this, I'll give him credit. He's,
David Shaw.
They had David Shaw and other college coaches for years. I was a little more resistant to that at times, you know. Now, Nick's not a current coach, but still, you know, he knows so many of the players, you know, like as we've gone through, you know, talking about and evaluating, like, not only does he know like how he prepared or played against players, but like I've been fascinated by like how he's going to talk about stories about recruiting kids. And especially on the ABC side, where we want to talk about, you know, their journeys, their families, their stories, like he can take you into the living room, you know, with the parents and what the family is like, what they serve for dinner and you know, kind of unique stories about the way the kids were brought up and such. So I think you'll get the best of both with Nick, is like a lot of the XO, which he's going to be great at, but a lot of kind of like, let me tell you more about this kid and his story.
That's cool. He's been good to work with so far for
great,
you, Seth?
Right. All in. And it's funny, like we basically said, look, you're only working the first two nights. So, you know, you only have to study 100 players or so, right? Like, because you're only, you know, you're only going to get 90 players picked or whatever it is, you know, like, so learn a little more than 100. You don't have to. And he kept digging in and asking for more, you know, get me more tape. And I want to study more players and have more opinions. So, he's great. You know, I mean, he's been great to work with. You know, we get to work with him on College Game Day this year, which we're fired up for. And this is his debut. So, it's big for us.
Charlie, I want to ask you this question, certainly has come up for me in, like, you know, on Twitter or mailbags. And, we've talked about this before. Like, I truly believe that you guys do not know who is being picked before the pick happens. But I want to take my time with you to ask you this, so that the listeners hear, like, you are finding, I mean, let's sort of be blunt. You may know the pick like 5-7 seconds before the world does, because you have to get the graphics up and stuff. But the NFL Network does not know who is being selected like 7 minutes, 12 minutes before the public finds out, correct?
No, for the 100th time. We do not tip the picks. Nobody tips the picks. We don't get the picks early. It's not 5 to 7 seconds before, but it's like sometimes, you know, it could be 30 seconds, but usually it's about a minute. I think, Seth, that's right around there, right? So we get our tapes and graphics in order. None of us tell our announcers in our ear. They're surprised as the viewer surprised when it comes on air. So now for the 101st time, for everybody, we do not know, we do not tell until we show.
Yeah, you guys used to get, I mean, essentially every person who's ever hosted the NFL draft, from Berman to Wingo to Eisen to whoever, has always sort of been accused of, oh, these guys, they're people are telling them before, so they look good on camera.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. You know, we've made, like, there are times, like, it's funny because we'll laugh in the truck. And I'm sure Charlie's the same. Like, we've been told 30 seconds before who the pick is, and our talent is going down the complete wrong path. Like, like, completely the wrong, like, talking about, like, and they'll, sometimes they get an agreement. Like, yep, I agree. That's who this pick should be. And we're kind of laughing because we know it's not going to be the pick. But we don't get in their ears and tell them, because, first of all, be terrible TV. Like, you know, it's like, if they're having like a really good discussion, like you mentioned the Gruden year with Johnny Manziel, like that was, you know, like, look, that was fun. He kept wanting teams to pick Johnny Manziel over and over again. And we would know it wasn't going to be Johnny Manziel.
That's right. Yeah. You didn't tip him off. I can tell you that. Right.
No. So I know there's been some people that have written some things that are, you know, they don't know what they're talking about when they write that. Like, you know, I've tried to say it before. Charlie said it before. We don't tell them. You can tell if you watch that we don't tell them. And if they do, you know, predict correctly, or it's just because they're prepared and they have a good understanding of where a team might go going in, or like anybody else, they think that player should be the pick, but they're, you can listen, if you watched, you can tell that our guys don't know.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
All right, let me finish up with this. Charlie, I want to ask you about Detroit. One of the things where what has changed dramatically with the NFL draft presentation is the city becomes a character. Like, once upon a time, it's just Radio City. At a certain point, how many times are you going to show West 50th and 6th Avenue, right? I mean, like, you know, there's not much more you can do after the 50th time you've shown it. But now all these cities become players. Like, and I think you guys have done both networks, both entities have done a great job of just like using the city as like a character in this. And, you know, Detroit has so much stuff here, whether it's Motown, whether it's the auto industry, whether it's the Lions Renaissance. You can do a lot. And NFL Network in particular, you guys have really done a great job, I feel like, of using the city as a character. So what's your thinking, big picture, with Detroit?
A couple things. One, you know, our model has continuously been hub and spoke, where the host city is the central character, the spokes being the 32 clubs, the 31 other clubs going in there. I actually got a list of the scenic shots we got with the graphic treatment we put with the NFL shield on there, or the draft shield, or the network logo. Pretty iconic spots all around Detroit. By the way, Richard, I know you'll like this. We'll give a wave to Canada, which I didn't know is actually south of Detroit. I thought it was north, but it's actually Canada will be south. So we'll say hi to Windsor. But all the artwork and all the stuff, it's. I said this on a league call earlier this week. It's a love letter to Detroit. And I can safely tease without giving anything up, and Seth is aware, there will be a very, 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 that's three verys, special moment at 8 o'clock Eastern on Thursday night. You will not want to miss. That is going to be pretty, pretty cool.
Seth, without saying what it is, you concur. You're putting this in a very cool moment.
I think it's gonna be really cool. Unexpected. Definitely will have a Detroit flavor to it. But it could be, if we execute it well, it can be very cool. So, yeah, listen, I agree with Charlie.
By the way, I have no idea what it is, but I'm going off the board and saying it's Eddie Murphy as Axel Foley.
Now we got to go back to the,
clearly not plan. That. Go ahead.
Damn it.
Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to jump in real quick and say, you know, I agree with Charlie, and, I love the way the draft has moved around, and especially that we've been able to go to some cities that, you know, even though Detroit was a Super Bowl city, you know, clearly we're going to some cities that aren't really in the Super Bowl rotation, like Green Bay next year, which will be that'll be fun. But like, it does become a character in the draft. I mean, I think, you know, for us, we do want to always say that the players come first and the draft itself comes first, and try not to, you know, go too overboard on the location, because I'm not sure how much the people at home care that much about the location versus just who's being picked and their teams and whatnot. So, you know, we try to kind of make it part of the fabric of the broadcast without overwhelming it. But, you know, we're excited to be in Detroit. I know the city is like really, really fired up, and we expect, like, you know, if the weather is nice and we get a break, I think we could see some massive crowds in Detroit. Because,
all right, here's my last one for you. It's gonna be fun. Don't worry if anybody's under contract. We just pretend like this doesn't exist. It's like a little fantasy world. Okay, Charlie, I'm gonna go to you. You can take anybody in pro football, not just ESPN. I'm gonna broaden this one. Anybody in the pro football universe to add to your draft coverage as a 3-day employee for the draft. So literally you could go from Tom Brady to Seth Markman, like, okay, the whole nuts and bolts. Give me the one person you would love to add on your draft coverage for 3 days, and why. Seth, you're getting the same ones. You have the advantage. You have the 17-31 advantage now on the next night. Charlie goes first.
Do I only get one, or can I get a bunch?
And I'll let you cheat. If you want a couple, you could go.
Would it make it more fun if it's one is anyone and two is someone on the other roster?
Yeah, that would make it much more fun.
I mean, anyone, it just so happens they're on the same roster, it seems like. Look, we had a great experience with Troy Aikman in 2018 when we had, you know, the deal with Fox and Thursday Night Football. Troy was amazing. I know Seth knows how great Troy is. He was just great to work with. He loved his experience, from what I recall. Troy is someone that he's Troy Aikman, so he'd be great. If we were pilfering from the other side, you know, I respect and love all of them so much. I can't think of anyone, but like, honestly, thinking of teaming up Mel with DJ would be just incredible. And we've done that already. They did the crossover this past week. They were excellent with each other. That would be like top of mind stuff. I mean, Mel is an institution, so it makes a ton of sense. I'd love to hear what Seth says.
I like that. All right, Seth, you got to go one. So now, just so it's even, you got to go one broad. You can take any, but you probably go Bill Parcells knowing you or something like that. But you can go one. You can go one broad, and then you got to swipe one from the NFL Network.
No, Bill Parcells obviously means a lot to me, but we've had him. I'd love to get him on the draft again someday, just to pick his brain. I think, you know, I'm just looking around the league and thinking, and like, you know, I know he's active, but you said don't worry about it. Like, I think Mike Tomlin for me would be somebody that he would just be awesome. So I'm not trying to end his Steelers coaching career, but you know, I would love to, like, I just think about 3 days of Mike Tomlin sitting there and breaking down players and telling stories. And, you know, I think he would have a great future career in the media if he'd want to do so. And then, for the pilfering, I would say, you know, again, with everything, on the table, not replacing anybody on our side, you know, my relationship with Rich, I would just say over the years and the respect I have for Rich and, you know, I used to be a production assistant for him. So, we used to do the 2:30 a.m. Sports Center. Rich and Stuart were hosting, and sometimes I cut some highlights for those guys and ran in some shot sheets and stuff like that. So to the fact that I've been able to maintain a great relationship with him over the years, and, you know, I'm so proud of everything he's done at NFL Network, and, I would say I'd love to be in his ear one more time, again someday.
But then, like, can I, like, real quick button, Richard? Like, that's the beauty of where we are. Like, I know how close Seth and Rich are. Like, I've known Booger for, I think, 21 years, and Adam, we both know. Like, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Mina Kimes, Laura Rutledge, Dan Orlovsky, like Lewis Riddick, Ryan Clark. Like, it goes on and on and on. Like, the relationships we all have back and forth is what truly makes the draft for, I think, all of us. And for me specifically, it's something I look forward to because it feels like a family reunion. It really does. And I don't mean to be cheesy, but it's like, we're all going to get together in Detroit. We're going to break bread, and it's going to be a great event. And it's like election coverage, whatever you want, we got, whether it's, you know, a guy who does every college football game for Fox, every pro game for CBS, the draft analyst, that's our desk. Whether it's the institution, that's Mel, you know, Lewis, who's amazing. Like, it goes on and on and on. Like, you've got what you need, and then we're catering to the fandom for this event, and like, we're ready to rock.
I'm calling it today. Most watched first round in the history of the NFL draft.
Call it. You called the Caitlin Clark stuff. You can call this right now.
It only took yeah. Seth's management years to catch up to me, but they finally did, and I appreciate it. But yeah, I'm calling first. I mean, is Tebow still the record for first round, Seth? Do you know off the top of your head? Or was that surpassed?
I don't know it off the top.
I should know this. I should know that. Or maybe. But I'm calling it anyway. Most watched first round in the history of the NFL draft by average. Not it's certainly going to be by volume, but by average, I'm calling it. Because I think what's going to happen is, Charlie, what we talked about, you're going to get stars at the top, and then I think there's going to be an unexpected trade, and you're going to get some tune in word of mouth and stuff like that. So this is my prediction. All right, let's give, oh my God, I've got it again. Once again, take another 20 minutes to do the bios here, but let's do it again. Charlie Uke is the NFL Network's executive producer and the longtime point person for their NFL draft coverage. Again, one of the respected people in the business. Seth Markman, vice president, executive production for ESPN. He has been their point person forever. And like we said at the top, Seth is in charge of the many college football and NFL studio shows that you watch. Seth, I will probably at some point have you back to talk about College Game Day, which really has a chance, obviously, to be a pretty phenomenal year, just given Saban, obviously McAfee's back. I mean, and college football has never been more popular than it is today. So you're really in a great position. All right. This is weird because I talk to you both all the time via phone. Now this is the first time we've ever done a podcast together, but I think it worked out well. Andrew Howard and Derek Vollner, who I know will be listening and to every single minute of this, they should be excited about how it worked out. And in all seriousness, I wish you the best of luck in Detroit. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Sports Media Podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right, back in the studio. My thanks to Charlie and Seth for giving me some time. I've talked to them many, many times via phone or Zoom, but never on a podcast. But I enjoyed that. We'll definitely have them back together to talk about future NFL drafts. Head to the archives. There should be some conversations and guests that you appreciate and enjoy. Leave us a 5-star review and a nice note. That is how this podcast continues. I want to thank Patrick Antonetti for all his hard work. Thanks to everybody at Odyssey for their support. And thank you for listening. We'll see you soon on the Sports Media Podcast.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.